हरे कृष्णा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नरं चित्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तदोजयम् उदिरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो 11th चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णास एंट्रेंस इन टू सिटी ऑफ द्वारका। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम वर्स 23 टू 29 टुडे। सो द थीम ऑफ दिस वर्सेस आर एक्चुअली लाइक the devotee's attraction to the Lord and the Lord's reciprocation. So the first few verses actually, like, you can see how it's a continuation of how the Lord was like being received by all the elders and all the yadus, who, when the Lord was entering into the city, like, so many people went to receive him. So it's a continuation of that. So how various people got attracted towards the Lord and the Lord's reciprocation. The last two verses we will see the Lord's reciprocation, especially to his mothers. And then the later part of the next section is like dealing with how he reciprocated with his wives, the queens of Dwarka. So I divide into basically like three parts. So this is like the scene where this picture nicely depicts Krishna's entrance into the city of Dwarka. It's a very beautiful picture, but it's not like high resolution, but it's a lot of details. It's a wonderful picture, like Krishna is walking in, and so you can see that there is a white umbrella being held against the head of the Lord, and then two chamaras. So we'll see the description. It's there in Bhagavatam. So this picture is completely based on the description in Bhagavatam. And basically, I divided this verses into three groups. So the first group are basically devotees' attraction towards the Lord, and the second group basically deals with why the devotees get attracted towards the Lord. What is the reason why they get attracted? And then the third is like the Lord's reciprocation. When the devotees get attracted towards the Lord also reciprocates. It's not just one way. So these are the three groups we have. So it's the first verse, so 23rd verse. So let's recite together.
Swayam cha gurubhir viprai सदरैस्तथापि अशिर्भिर्युत्मानो न्याय्यैर्पन्थिभिश्चाविचित्पुरन्।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बैगिस् डिविंग्लेस एसी भक्ति स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। देन द लॉर्ड पर्सनली एंटर्ड द सिटी अकंपनीड बाय एल्डरली रिलेटिव्स एंड इनवैलिड ब्राह्मणास विद देयर वाइव्स ऑल ऑफरिंग बेनेडिक्शंस एंड सिंगिंग द ग्लोरीज ऑफ द लॉर्ड। Others also praise the glories of the Lord. Purport, actually, this is the important points from the purport. Actually, this is a very small purport. I put the entire purport here. So I will just read it. The Brahmanas in society were never attentive to banking money for future retired life. When they were old invalids, they used to approach the assembly of the kings, and simply by praising the glorious deeds performed by the kings along with their wives, they would be provided with all necessities of life. So Prabhupada is just here telling like how the Brahmanas behave, unlike the current modern society where we have to put 401k and and so many other things, like, right, the whole society itself, if you look at it, it's set up for all the social security and so many things they're doing, but actually they are not the real protection, because, like, you can see that social security is already in trouble, and then 401k, so many people's 401k got wiped out, right, because of all this stock speculation and whatnot. So that's not the way one retires, especially the brahmanas. They don't like start accumulating things for their future. They just live with whatever it's been given to them, and then whatever is left after using for their day-to-day needs, whatever it's left, so they will just give it back in charity. So that's the quality of brahmanas, and that's the first class brahmanas. So and also there are different categories, like as Radhakrishna Prabhu explained, right, there are, and vipras and brahmanas, there are different categories of brahmanas. One of them they do ritualistic, some of them they do teaching, some of them do preaching. So many different categories are there. So, but in general, brahmanas, they don't start accumulating money. So because if you accumulate money, what do you have to do? So you have to start lying, right? You can't be honest. Once you start accumulating money, in order to protect that, you got to lie. So it's anxiety. So it creates anxieties. They can't speak the truth. So also the brahmanas were never salaried. They were always remunerated by the remaining three ashramas, or especially grihastha ashramas, especially by the kings and the vaishyas. The kshatriyas and vaishyas used to protect the brahmanas. And we can see that how in the age of Kali, how the whole degradation have started because of brahmanas being not protected, especially after the Kali Yuga started, right? And especially after King Ashoka, right, there is no more Hindu kings, because he converted most of the things into Buddhism. And then all the Vaishyas had become Jains. So obviously there is no more protection for Brahmanas, and Brahmanas have started working. Once they started working, that means working for money, that means they can't be objectively teach. Whatever the little left, Brahmanical culture, that also got destroyed. So that's how we can see how the age of Kali degraded everything. So Prabhupada is nicely saying here that Brahmana's objective is to study and teach. So that actually, like, that's what Prabhupada tried to do in this movement, is to create first class devotees, especially in the Brahmachari ashram is meant for studying and teaching. It's not just for Brahmacharis, for all, but especially they don't have any other material motivation. They don't work, they don't generate money, nothing. So they work full time, they study and teach. So that is their substance on which, like, if you see, like, Prabhupada's movement started, like, even though he started with a lot of grihasthas, eventually the preaching started going around because of sannyasis and brahmacharis. We will see some of the preaching aspects later. And so Brahmanical culture is very important, so that's why Prabhupada also instituted Brahmin culture, especially Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati started giving Brahminical threads and initiating with the Gayatri mantras. So before that, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, it was mainly they just chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And to gain respectability in the society, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati instituted Brahminical initiation. So this Brahminical initiation studies this Pancha Samskara, they say, like, it's coming from especially Sri Vaishnava tradition. So that's what they do. So, like, putting the marks of the Lord, the putting Thilak, and then getting the name, and putting, like, the conch and the chakra. They put conch and chakra mark, they put in a fire, and then put in the chest. So That's how they get initiated. Sri Vaishnavas, they do initiation in the shoulders, and then receiving the mantra, the second initiation, and then deity worship. These are the five. I don't remember exactly the five names, technical names. Do you remember those names? So that's how it. That's the root of this initiation. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati adapted that, and then because we can't do those fire marks and all in nowadays, so we just put Thilak, and it's symbolical now. So, and especially to do deity worship, you need to get a second initiation. So the first initiation actually contains only the three parts, and then the second initiation contains the remaining two parts. That's what I heard. So, And this Brahmanical culture is very important. So Prabhupada created an institution which will encourage this first class devotees. And such Brahmanas were not, so to speak, flatterers of the kings. Actually, they were not just begging, or they were not just like doing Mugastuti. They were not just flattering. They were actually, but the kings were actually glorified by their actions, and they were sincerely still more encouraged in pious acts by such Brahmanas in a dignified way. So the reason why the Brahmanas go and glorify is, the first of all, the kings, they were all righteous. They were all doing charitable acts. By glorifying them, they are encouraged to do more. So that's the reason why they do this, not just for flattery or not just to maintain the sustenance. Lord Sri Krishna is worthy of all glories, and the praying Brahmanas and the others were glorified themselves by chanting the glories of the Lord. So if you see, right, like, it's chanting the glories of the Lord is actually even more glorious, because whoever chants the glories of the Lord, actually they themselves get glorified. Right, like forever, right, we will remember Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, right, like because of the chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam, right. So the one who perfected the art of chanting is Sukadeva Goswami, right. He is the person who had, especially in the Kirtanam, right, he is the most prominent. So we have given various examples of different devotees, how they perfected, or one prominent thing they did, even though they did all of them, but each one of them an example given, how one of them had been did, like for example, hearing, Shravanam is done by perfectionist, by Parikshit Maharaj, and Smaranam is done by Prahlad Maharaj, and then Atmanivedanam is done by Bali Maharaj. Like the different devotees have exemplified different acts of the limbs of devotional service. So by chanting the glories of the Lord, anybody, doesn't have to be Brahmana, anybody will attain the glory, because by chanting the glories of the Lord, so they will attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So then they will be automatically glorified. So that's the importance of chanting, Prabhupada is mentioning here. And I tried to get some lectures on this. Rompada Maharaj had given lectures on this. I couldn't hear for this verse, but quite a few other verses I have heard. And as we all know, that chanting is the most important activity. And chanting, especially for us, chanting prescribed number of rounds, 16 rounds. And actually, chanting doesn't stop there. Actually, our chanting is like actually preaching, because we don't have strong attraction for chanting. So main way to get attraction towards chanting is like by serving the advanced devotees, and then by try to, in our, we should give our best effort to preach, because by preaching, right, we will definitely Lord will reciprocate to us. By serving the advanced devotees as well as to preach, by preaching the Lord will reciprocate. So we will see that later, like, because His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj had given a very nice lecture on the next verse. So it's a wonderful lecture I was hearing, and we'll, in the end of the lecture, probably we'll try to listen a little bit, and maybe some other time I will send the link, all of you can listen as well. So next verse, 24th.
Rajamargam gade Krishna varakaya kulashtraya Ramyani aruruhur vipra tat ikshana magotsavaha.
When Lord Krishna passed over the public roads, all the ladies from respectable families of Dwaraka went up to the roofs of their palaces just to have a look at the Lord. They considered this to be the greatest festival. Purport. So I put some important points from the purport. So Prabhupada actually, basically two aspects in this purport he discusses. So these two aspects of two points, and throughout Prabhupada's books, purports, we can see, there are two aspects in this purport also he deals with. So one is deity worship, Archa Vigraha, and then another is Varnashrama Dharma, especially women's position in Varnashrama Dharma. So Prabhupada actually in quite a few places he had discussed these two topics. Again, he is emphasizing this same two topics in this purport as well. So the first, he is describing what is a great festival. So what is a great festival? ఫర్ అస్ ద గ్రేట్ ఫెస్టివల్ ఇస్ లుకింగ్ ఎట్ ద ట్రాన్స్జెండర్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ సో టు లుక్ అట్ ద ట్రాన్స్జెండర్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ గ్రేట్ ఫెస్టివల్ దట్స్ వాట్ యాక్చువల్లీ ది సిటిజన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద్వారకా డెడ్ సో ద ఇంపార్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఫెస్టివల్ ఈస్ టు సీ ద లార్డ్ డూయింగ్ ఆల్ ద డెకరేషన్ ఆల్ ద అరేంజ్మెంట్స్ ఈస్ టు సీ ద లార్డ్ దట్స్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ ఫెస్టివల్ మహోత్సవ మహా ఉత్సవ సో అండ్ లేడీస్ ఆఫ్ ద్వారకా యాక్చువల్లీ దే డిడ్ దట్ సో ఈవెన్ దో దే కుడ్ నాట్ సీ ద లార్డ్ ఇన్ ద క్లోజ్ క్వార్టర్స్ సో వాట్ ది డిడ్ నాట్ టు సీ ద లార్డ్ దే వెంట్ అప్ టు ద రూఫ్ టు సీ బికాస్ దే కుడెంట్ కమ్ ఇన్ టు ద స్ట్రీట్స్ సో ప్రభుపాద్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ వై దే డిడ్ కమ్ ఇన్ టు ద స్ట్రీట్స్ వై దే డిడ్ జాయిన్ ఎవ్రీబడీ ఎల్స్ ఇన్ ద స్ట్రీట్ సో దే వెంట్ అన్ టు ద టాప్ ఆఫ్ ద రూఫ్ అండ్ దెన్ ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ దే వర్ ట్రైంగ్ టు సీ ద ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ద లేడీస్ ఆఫ్ ద్వారకా డిడ్ దట్ బై లుకింగ్ అట్ ద లార్డ్ దే వర్ పార్టిసిపేట్ ఇన్ ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ ఫెస్టివల్ ఈవెన్ నౌ ఇన్ ఇండియా లేడీస్ ఫాలో దిస్ ట్రెడిషన్ ఆఫ్ గోయింగ్ ఇన్ టు ద టెంపుల్స్ టు సీ ద ఫార్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఎస్పెషలీ డ్యూరింగ్ జన్మాష్టమి అండ్ జూలన్ యాత్ర ప్రభుపాద్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ ఇన్ ద పర్పోర్ట్ డ్యూరింగ్ వేరియస్ ఫెస్టివల్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ యూ కెన్ సీ లాట్ మోర్ విమెన్ గోయింగ్ ఇన్ టు ద టెంపుల్ దాన్ మెన్ సో దే దిస్ ట్రెడిషన్ ఇస్ స్టిల్ ఫాలోడ్ సో హౌ టు హ్యావ్ అ గ్రేట్ ఫెస్టివల్ ఎవ్రీ డే సో అండ్ దట్స్ వాట్ ప్రభుపాద్ ఇస్ టెలింగ్ అగైన్ హౌ టు హ్యావ్ గ్రేట్ ఫెస్టివల్ ఎవ్రీ డే ఇస్ బై లుకింగ్ ఇన్ ద ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అండ్ బై లుకింగ్ ఇన్ ద డైటీ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఇన్ ద టెంపుల్ by looking at the deity form of the Lord it's a great festival every day when we come in front of radhani shishinada nilamadava it's a mahotsava even though we may not be able to feel it so we will see why we are not able to feel it but actually it's a mahotsava because all the great personalities are assembled when we do especially the aarti right all the great personalities assembled there so we may not be able to see we may not be able to tune into that mood but actually that's the case So why we are not able to see? Because of our conditioning, because of our anarthas. By looking at the deity form of the Lord in the temple, we can have great festival every day. We don't have to actually do something extraordinary. Actually, when the Lordships are there, it's a great festival every day. And then Prabhupada also here says the importance of Archa Vigraha. So Archa Vigraha form, actually, even though it's non-different from the transcendental personal form of the Lord, it's non-different than Krishna. So Radha Nilamadava who is standing here, he is not different than Krishna in Goloka. So, but we may not be able to perceive because we don't have that that Premanjana, right? We don't have that eyes to see that. But actually, they are not different than the Supreme Lord. Especially devotees who go to do deity worship, they can actually feel, I don't do that much deity worship. But Vedanayan Prabhu was like sharing his realization after doing deity worship, you can see that actually that he is non-different than Krishna. And other devotees also can share this realization that it's that's why it's very important, especially for grahasthas, to do deity worship is very important. And because he is non-different than Krishna, Prabhupada further explains why, how he is non-different from Krishna. He is expanded by his internal potency to facilitate devotional service in the material world. The thousands and thousands of devotees, aspiring devotees, or sadhakas are in the material world. So if the Lord stays in the spiritual world, how they can worship Him? So out of mercy, the Lord descends in this Archa Vigraha form. The Lord can come in any form. He doesn't have to just come only in deity form. He can come in any form. He is like unlimited. His potencies are unlimited. He can choose to come in whatever form He wants to. But He comes in Archa Vigraha form. So this actually is in Sri Vaishnava tradition is explained. Actually, the Lord is worshipped in five different forms, they say. First is the para form, one who is in the spiritual world, para, and then vyuga form, the one the chaturvyuga forms, and then vibhava means the leela avatars, one when the Lord descends into the material world, and then antaryami or paramatma, the Lord as paramatma in everybody's heart, and then the archa vigraha form, that's the fifth form. Out of all these five forms, the Archa Vigraha form is considered to be most merciful. So there is one Shiva Vaishnava Acharya, his name is Pillai Lokacharya. He gives the explanation. The para form, he compares the Lord's different forms to different forms of water available in this world. So para form is like water in the cloud. So water in the cloud is not accessible to you. So we are in this material world. The Lord in the spiritual form, in the spiritual world is not accessible. And then the Lord in Chaturvyuga form, right? That is like example of like a milk ocean, water in the milk ocean. You heard of it, but you have not seen it. And then the Lord in the Vibhava form is like water in the river. It's very seasonal. When the Lord descends, when you happen to take birth during that time, you can see the Lord. Otherwise, you can't see the Lord. So when Lord incarnates into this world for Leela avatars, right? If you happen to take birth at that time, you can see. It's seasonal. When there is rainy season, you will get water in the river. Otherwise, it dries up. It's not there. And then Lord in the Antaryami form is like water in the ground. So in order to access water in the ground, you need to drill a hole. So you need to go and sit this, do this Ashtanga Yoga for thousands of years to access the Lord in the heart as Paramatma, Antaryami. So it's not easily accessible. Whereas the Lord in Archavigraha form is like water body, like it's a water in the lake. It's easily accessible. It's there throughout the year. If you go to like our Lake Sammamish or Lake Washington, the water is there everywhere, every day. It never dries up. So water in a great body, right? A great body of water never dries up. The Archavigraha form is like that. It's easily accessible. So that's the importance of Archavigraha form. And especially the radio worship, what we do is based on Rupa Goswami and especially Gopal Bhatta Goswami's notes. That's what is compiled. Sanatana Goswami compiled in Hari Bhakti Vilasa, especially notes from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami is coming from Shri Vaishnava tradition. He is coming from South India. So a lot of the process to do deity worship is coming from actually like Sanatana Goswami's Hari Bhakti Vilasa. And then Prabhupada said, if you study Hari Bhakti Vilasa, you'll go to hell. So when devotees were like bewildered, why? They asked why. And Prabhupada said, because if you read Hari Bhakti Vilasa, and then you have to follow the standards, because the standards are extremely high in Hari Bhakti Vilasa. And then in our condition, we cannot follow the standards. Once you know the standards, you have to follow. And if you don't follow, you'll go to hell. That's what Prabhupada meant to say. So that's why Prabhupada actually simplified the standards. So none, especially Harivilas Prabhu in our temple had actually, is very merciful. He had made it easily accessible to, without any qualification, he is allowing so many people to come and worship deity as well as participate in various activities. In some other temples, even in the kitchen, one has to be second initiated. So that's the case in a lot of temples, especially in temples in India as well as in some other temples in US as well. So is that the case, Mataji, in Houston temple?
Cooking.
Yeah, for cooking, yeah. Now here, Harivilas Prabhu is allowing everybody to come and cut vegetables and cook as well. But eventually, Harivilas Prabhu wanted to increase the standard. Because the reason why he did that way is, Harivilas Prabhu explained one day, if I follow that standard, kind of a strong standard, we don't have enough people and nobody will be coming to temple. So Harivilas Prabhu one day explained to me, if I got to follow the standards, then a lot of devotees would have not entered the kitchen. And then sometimes, he said, like sometimes devotees used to come to take lunch in the temple every day, in the old temple. And then some devotees complained, this person is coming every day and entering into the kitchen and putting his prasadam and he's eating and he doesn't know anything and he doesn't know any standard. So what to do? Harivilas Prabhu mentioned that I said, like, don't disturb him. Let him come and take every day. What can you do? Otherwise, you stay in the temple every day to serve prasad. Otherwise, he will not eat prasad. He will eat something else. So that person actually today had become a first class, second initiated devotee. Because Harivilas Prabhu had that vision. He allowed that person to take prasadam every day. That person used to come every day for lunch here. Harivilas Prabhu mentioned this. Because if you had followed that standard strictly, that person would have not devotees. Would have not devotee. So we have to understand why certain things Harivilas Prabhu is doing. It's because of lack of resources, he is following some minimum standards. And then eventually Harivilas Prabhu mentioned that he wants to increase the standard. So we can also do the same thing in our temple as well. As we like more and more give more time, each one of us, as like the congregation develops more, right, as we have more resources, so the standard can be slowly increased. So that's the importance of Archavigraha form, and especially Harivilas Prabhu is very merciful. We have so many different forms of Archavigraha here. So we have Radha, Shishi Radha Neela Madhava, Shishi Gauranathai, Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Bhaktanuman, Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Dev, Gopalji, right? And then also Shaligram Shila and Radha Shyam Sundar. So many different forms of deities we have. And Prabhupada also mentions further, why does Lord descend in Archavigraha form? The material senses cannot perceive the spiritual nature of the Lord. Hence, the Lord accepts the Archavigraha, which is apparently made up of material elements like earth, wood and stone. Even though if you look at the deity form, usually the deity form is made up of these three. Either it's made of marble, or it's made up of wood, or it's made up of metal. And Lord, even though these things are material things, these elements are material elements, the Lord descends into this material form himself. Because we cannot see the spiritual form of the Lord, because we don't have that spiritual eyes. To out of mercy, he descends into the Archavigraha form. Does this mean the Lord is materially contaminated? No, absolutely not. Because the Lord is Kaivalya. Prabhupada explains the word Kaivalya. Kaivalya means one alone. No matter in him. He is one without a second. Hence, the Almighty Lord can appear in any form without being contaminated by the material conception. So, and especially like whose holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj was telling. So, especially when you want to preach to Westerners. So, this is very important aspects we need to explain. Because a lot of people say like, oh, you are doing just idol worship. Right? So, that's not the case. So, he's Lord in the Archavigraha form, deity form. He is actually non-different than the Supreme Lord himself. Because Lord has so many inconceivable potency. He can descend in any form. So he was also quoting in the lecture that even in the other tradition, in Christianity tradition, right, Judeo-Christianity religion also, it is there. Like Moses saw the form of the Lord, he appeared from the fire bush. It is there. So Maharaj was mentioning. So you can quote those things when somebody is asked this question. Why do you do deity worship? It is not something lower. In India also there is some misconception is there. Deity form is meant for people who are not advanced. For the person only deity form is given to worship. They can't see the advanced thing. They can't see the Brahman. For that person, in the beginning stage, deity form is given. No, that's not true. So, especially in this context, there is a wonderful conversation between Professor Sutherland, Arthur Sutherland. He's from Ohio State University, I believe. So he visited India in 1929 or 26. And then he got a conversation with, he met with His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then there is a nice conversation between this professor, Sutherland, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So I will send out this article. It's there in the book, Ray of Vishnu. So I just created a PDF. I will share that PDF as well. So this is the one I was mentioning during Radhakrishna Prabhu's Bhakti Vaibhav classes. So this, I think every one of us should read that. It's a first class explanation. That professor is, in the beginning, he starts with like little arrogance and pumped up way he speaks. And then the way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains, he's completely flabbergasted. He just completely himself subdues himself. And then he starts appreciating the super excellence of Vaishnava tradition. So we all should know the importance of deity worship. Because especially when we deal with our colleagues and we deal with a lot of Westerners as well. So we should explain this form of worship is not something lower. So because the Lord Archavigraha form is non-different than the personal form, hence the Acharyas installed the deities in the temple to benefit common population. So that's what Srila Prabhupada did. So one of the first things Prabhupada did is establishing temples and then establishing deity worship. He first did in New York, next he did in San Francisco, and then did in all the major cities. Like you can see, like Prabhupada established in all major cities, in Paris, in London, in Toronto, in Boston, right, in all big cities, Prabhupada, like LA, all the places he established deity worship. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, an acharya who knows the science of this, he understands the science very well, then he goes and establishes the temples all over the world. That's what he says. So an acharya who knows the science perfectly well, he will establish temple for the benefit of common men. So this actually, Prabhupada actually wrote this purport before 1965. So Prabhupada had this vision. He had a very clear plan that he knew that he is going to come and establish all these temples. And he had a very, very clear plan of doing all these things. It's just a matter of time. Even Prabhupada was actually telling, like when somebody met Prabhupada in the Times Square Park, he met somebody, Prabhupada was actually explaining to somebody who was sitting next to him that actually I see so many temples all over the world and so many thousands of devotees are coming and chanting. Prabhupada mentioned this. This is before any temple was started. Prabhupada said only the time is separating. I already see thousands of hundreds of temples. I already see thousands of people coming and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Only time is separating. He had that vision. And we can see that the same vision is being carried out by Srila Prabhupada's disciples as well. Especially here, we are very fortunate to have Harivilas Prabhu, right? Harivilas Prabhu have that vision for this Vedic cultural center, the temple for Shri Radha Nila Madhava. And Harivilas Prabhu mentioned several times, lot of even our own devotees did not have faith that we'll be able to complete the temple. So we'll never be able to complete this temple. That's what Harivilas Prabhu mentioned. But he had a very clear plan. And some devotees was mentioning, I think Navakeshwari Mataji was mentioning from like one time somebody mentioned this to Harivilas Prabhu and he came, his son-in-law, Adil Prabhu. So he mentioned this to like Balaram Lila Prabhu and Navakeshwari Mataji that even 20 years back when he came here, so he used to live in a mobile home. Harivilas Prabhu used to live in a trailer. But at the time itself, at the time this was to be a forest. This Samamish area is just a jungle. Just a place for all the bears and all the animals here. Not that many houses were there. But Harivilas Prabhu had that vision that one day here there will be a beautiful temple. And that's what Acharya, one who knows the science well, he has that clear vision to establish these temples and establish the deities actually for welfare of the common people. Out of mercy, out of compassion, they do this work. Not for anything else. Out of compassion, they do this work. And then we can see this throughout the world, actually. Prabhupada's disciples, so many disciples do that. Throughout the world. So many wonderful temples are there. Now, like, another beautiful temple is coming in Shida Mayapur, right? Prabhupada's vision. Prabhupada mentioned this, like, 40 years back to Ambarish Prabhu. That he wanted to build this planet, Vedic planetarium, temple of Vedic planetarium. So it took 30 years for him. He realized that he meditated on that work for 30 years. And now the temple construction have started. And then he is personally funding more than half of 50% personally. He is giving 30 million. The cost is estimated to be 60 million. And then he mentioned that I will personally fund this 30 million and the remaining 30 million also I will help fundraising you. And then we can see like other Bhavanand Prabhu and other devotees actually taken up of overseeing this construction of the Shri Damayapur temple. So this temple worship is very important. Deity worship in the temple is especially very important because that's how the common mass get benefited. So anybody who walks into the temple, they get extreme, the benefit whenever somebody comes into the temple and offer obeisances or do something in the temple, the benefit is extraordinary. That cannot be easily explained. So that's why the Acharyas especially established the deity form in the temple and allow this to happen. And Srila Prabhupada, as you know, like he established so many wonderful temples. And Srila Prabhupada's disciples also doing it. And then our job is to assist them in that and then help maintain them. So Harivilas Prabhu always mentioning this thing. Building temple is not that difficult. Actually, maintaining it is more difficult. Because maintenance means it's mode of goodness. Creation is mode of passion to an extent, right? So even though temple is not product of mode of passion, but actually it requires administrative capability. It requires mode of passion to get things done in the material world. So it requires a lot of mode of passion to create things. But to maintain, one has to be in mode of goodness. So that's why Harivilas Prabhu is mentioning all the time, right? Keeping the temple clean and maintaining it nicely, right? It's not easy. Because by doing that act, actually we come to mode of goodness. We may not know it. Actually, by doing some service in the temple, especially maintaining the temple, to help cook, or to cut vegetables, or to clean, or do any work in the temple, actually helps one to bring mode of goodness. So on this, there is the second part, the second paragraph of the purport. Actually, Prabhupada talks about the, especially Varnashrama Dharma and the woman's position. So especially the glorious, in the glorious Vedic culture, right? So this prosperity of Dwaraka actually can be understood from this verse. So great palaces were there. That like even all the citizens, they were all living in big palaces. So we can see that the prosperity of Dwaraka is described in this verses. And the ladies' behavior, especially the ladies did not actually come into the street. Actually, they went up the roof to see the Lord. So why they did that? Actually, to maintain respectability. Because these are all actually Prabhupada, and the words used in this Kulashtri. The same word is used by Arjuna also in Bhagavad Gita. Right? When the elders are killed, so eventually this family tradition will be killed, and then women will actually be degraded, he says, Kulashtri. That's the Kulashtri is the word. Actually, the Kulashtri means women of high character, women from coming from very highly cultured family.
Respectable family.
And their behavior, because in order to maintain the respectability, they did not come and mix with the common people in the street. Even though when the Lord was coming, still they maintained, they went up the stairs to see. That's the tradition. So even in India, I had seen sometimes the village I am coming from, when there was some festival happens in the street, when the procession goes, actually most of the times actually the girls and the ladies will go up the stairs and watch through their window. So I had also seen that. Nowadays that's not the case, but that's the tradition. And this is very important point actually, also on the same topic actually, His Holiness Bhaktivikas Maharaj also given a lecture. In 1996 he had given a lecture on this importance of maintaining the separation of women and men. They should not actually mingle freely. Why they should not mingle freely? Because it's like fire and butter. When you keep fire and butter together, the butter will melt. Automatically, there will be fall down, will happen. So that's why one has to maintain this distance, the separation. Even during service, one has to maintain this proper etiquette, because otherwise, it's a recipe for disaster. So, and this is time and again, it's proven in the Vedic culture. Whatever it's mentioned in Vedic culture, it's not just something like outdated. It's actually eternal principles. If you don't follow, we will actually get into trouble. So this had happened in the past. It will happen. It is happening now, and it will happen in the future also. It's not just only in the past it happened. So this is very important principle for us to follow. It's not to, one should not actually, like, this is the another thing, like generally there is a misconception that like, oh, women are actually like to an extent not, it's a male dominated society, ISKCON is a male dominated society, and women are not given prominence. That's not true. That's not true at all. Actually, women are kept in a respectable position. Something valuable needs to be kept safe. So women are actually more respectable than men. Cultured women are more respectful than men. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning. And that's the same thing like Bhaktivikas Maharaj was also mentioning in the lecture, as well as Tamal Krishna Maharaj was also mentioning. The most of the problem in the world today is because of unrestricted mixing of opposite sex. So they, today like women dress like men. There is unisex coats, unisex clothes. Like they want to just remove sex. They don't want to differentiate men and women. At all. So, Tamal Krishna Maharaj mentioned all the problems in this world today are because of this unrestricted interaction between men and women. Actually, this is totally opposite of what Sigmund Freud said, right? This father of modern psychology or psychiatry, right? He said that the problem of the world is actually because of people are not allowed to have properly sex. That's why all the sufferings in this world are. I'm just telling you, I'm not joking. This is what he said. That's what he said. But actually, he completely got 180 degree opposite wrong. The problems in this world is because of unrestricted behavior. The material existence, the foundation of material principle is the attraction between man and woman. So that's why there is a proper ashrama is divided. In Vedic civilization, there is like the four ashramas are there to maintain this. Only in one ashrama, like men can interact with women, only in Grihastha ashrama. That is also in a very, very guided way. It's not an unrestricted thing. So the whole problems of the world is because of this behavior. And we also should be very careful because we are living in modern society. We don't want to go to some other extreme to say that, oh, women should not come here, all that. It's not like that. But actually we need to maintain proper etiquette. We need to understand what to do, what not to do. When we don't know what to do, we should ask senior devotees. Especially we should ask Harivilas Prabhu when we don't know what to do. So the one thing Harivilas Prabhu had given for all of us is that he had given his cell phone number. He said, like, any time of the day you can call me. If you have any questions, any doubts, any time of the day you can call him. I had seen myself that I had called any time Harivilas Prabhu, he responds. So we have that facility available. We should use it wisely. So this etiquette, following this etiquette is very important. There are so many stories are there that how when the etiquette is not followed. In general, right, when the etiquette is not followed, when something happens, only men are criticized. Women are not criticized for that, when a fall down happens. You know why? Women are not criticized, only men are criticized. Because women are actually like children. Men are actually the leaders. They should know better. So even though the fault could be with the other person, but still the responsibility always ends up with men. Because they are in responsible. They are the leader. So they are actually always given the responsibility. So it's very important for us, all of us, to understand. And we don't have to go to any extreme measure. We need to just follow simple protocols. Right? Like in the temple, especially, like, we need to have men and women separated during Arati. Right? There is a reason why Prabhupada did that. Basically, this removes unrestricted mingling. So we don't have to come, any newcomers who come, oh, you should care. We don't have to. But by our own behavior, automatically people will follow that. Even if everybody is attending like Sunday feast, evening Arati, Gaur Arati, when all our devotee Matajis, if they sit on one side, automatically other women who come, they also will go and sit there only. By our own behavior, we can help others also. That's why it's very important. It's a big responsibility for us to be devotees. Means actually so many people are watching our behaviors. So they may not be talking to you, but they are observing. These behaviors are extremely very important for us to follow. Krishna died. So especially on this regard of conducting festivals and then seeing the forms of the Lord, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was mentioning that, so we can't actually not in a we are not in a situation where we can see the deity form of the Lord 24 hours a day. So we'll get bored. So how do you get the pleasure? By serving and by actually preaching. So in that particular lecture, the topic of the lecture was preaching is the pleasure. This, especially on this verse, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had given that lecture. So preaching is the way we serve the deities. Preaching is the way we see the transcendental form of the Lord. So especially Prabhupada had given the preaching strategy, the three-pronged preaching strategy he had given. First is prasadam distribution. Two is like book distribution. And third is Sankirtan, holy name, going Nagara Sankirtan. So Harilas Prabhu was mentioning when we went to Russian consulate, right, afterwards we did small procession of kirtan, chanting the holy names. And Harilas Prabhu mentioned, we should do this every week. Harilas Prabhu was mentioning, we should do this every week. And so now it's, even though it's very difficult weather, but at least we should all come together. It's all our responsibility. Anytime you call Harilas Prabhu, he's not going to say no for these activities. So it's our responsibility for all of us to come together and then invite him to go for Sankirtan. So it's a very important thing. So it's very purifying. So Maharaj mentioned this. This is the three-pronged strategy Prabhupada had given. Especially if you want to preach to Westerners. So these are the ways. So preach to Indians, temples attracts automatically people. Because they, most of them have, by their tradition, by their culture, they have the habit of coming to temple. But Westerners, they will not come into the temple. They will think that this is something to do with Hinduism. So if you wanted to preach to Westerners, then we need to go out of the temple and do this Sankirtan and book distribution, then prasadam distribution. So that's the strategy Harilas Prabhu is using. That's why we have free restaurant. And then so many devotees from here, they are helping to go distribute prasadam. This is their wonderful activities. So that's how one can have pleasurable activities. Just seeing the forms of the Lord, we don't have that. A pure devotee, when he comes and sees Radha Nila Madhava, right? He is seeing like all the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. He is seeing ever new, ever fresh. Right? Krishna is Navayavana. But we don't. I come like probably offer obeisances for like 1 minute or 2 minutes mechanically. Right? I just offer all the prayers and just look at them, okay, and go. But we can't do it. Best thing we can do is by staying in the temple and talking to people. Harilas Prabhu is mentioning again and again that talking to people is very important activity. This is like Maharaj was telling in that lecture, by having this temple is like a big businessman opening a big factory. Opening a big factory takes like hundreds of thousands of dollars. In fact, millions of dollars. It took like $4 million. And then to cook prasadam, it takes hundreds and thousands of dollars. And then to deity worship. So the outfits we have is like hundreds of thousands of dollars we're spending in getting deity outfit. And you're all sacrificing your time to come and do dress the deities. This is like building a factory and manufacturing the goods, creating a big showcase, showroom, and then put all the goods in the showcase, and then thousands of customers are coming, but there is nobody to market. It is like that. All the efforts we are doing is like that. When nobody is there, when somebody comes to temple, when there somebody is not there to preach, somebody not forget about preaching, somebody to talk. It is like building a big factory, producing all the goods, putting it in a showcase, right? And thousands of customers are coming, but there is nobody to sell, nobody to market. What is number one thing in salesmanship? Salesmanship, number one thing is relationship. If you ask any salesman, what is the key to successful sales? It's like relationship. So how do you build that relationship? By staying in the temple, by talking to people. You don't have to preach philosophy. We don't have to preach any philosophy in this temple. All we have to do is just talk to people nicely. What's your name? Where are you coming from? Few words. Maharaj was heavy. For me, that lecture was a high opener. That lecture was, we all should hear this lecture. I highly recommend this lecture. It was heavy. One of the heaviest lecture I ever heard.
Where is it from?
I'll send the link. In 1996, he had given in Dallas Temple. So just stay. We all have like work. We all have family. We all have job. We all have things. But we all have so many services. We are not that. We are doing so many services. But on top, it's not enough. That's what Maharaj was saying. It's not enough. Because by even though you are doing all these things, actually, it will not. It's not effective until you talk to people. So we have to stay in this temple, especially in Sunday feast evening. We should be here, all of us. Because our congregation, our initiated devotees are like more than 60. If 60 devotees are staying in this temple and talking to newcomers, how many relationships can be built? And Maharaj was mentioning that you have to invite. You are all very ready to invite sannyasis to your home. You are ready to invite me, Maharaj was telling. You are ready to invite me. But how many newcomers you had invited to your home? Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada quoted, like, if somebody comes and takes prasadam in your home, what happens? That person is obliged to you, obligated to you, and then he will listen to you. Prabhupada mentioned this. Maharaj was mentioning this. So that's why when we take the time to invite people to our home, right, we build that relationship. So that's how, because I have taken up Krishna consciousness here in this temple, that's because of the relationship with the devotees. So the devotees had invited me to their home several times. Sometimes when they not invited me also, I had shown up for other festivals in their home. Right? So that's how we do. It's very important for us to take time in talking to people. And I highly recommend, I think we should also listen to this particular lecture in a group. So I don't think so we have enough time today to listen to the lecture. But we should listen to the lecture together. It's a very important point Maharaj made. Like, it's like this, right? We have these wonderful deities. We have doing such opulent deity worship. Wonderful prasadam Mataji is cooking. Beautiful temple we have. And when people come, nobody is there. Right? Think of it. It's like this. Customers are coming into your shop, seeing all these wonderful products, but they are not buying anything. There is no interaction. So when I was hearing to the lecture, I just felt like it's Arulas who was speaking. No, I'm not joking. If you feel that the way Maharaj spoke, the tone of the lecture, people come, devotees are sitting at home, nobody is here. Arulas who said, he says that, right? Where are the devotees? The same way, like Maharaj was speaking, the same way. I was just seeing, like, it's like as if I was Harivilas Prabhu was speaking that lecture. That's how I felt. Yeah, we'll move forward. So, it's crashed. It's okay. So I will share both the lectures, one given by Bhakti Vyasa Maharaj as well as one given by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Bhakti Vyasa Maharaj focuses on the etiquette part. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj focuses on the preaching part. So, these two lectures. So Maharaj is mentioning, you're all doing something. The temple is giving you the opportunity to do things. But he said, Maharaj said, this is not enough. So that's a difficult thing for us to swallow, especially when you're working, when you have children, when you have so many other things to do. You have to figure out a way to balance. And talking to people is a very important act. So His Grace Nithyagaram Prabhu is like, doing this wonderful welcoming service. He's requesting all the devotees to come and do the service. It's a wonderful opportunity to talk to people by staying in the welcome team. So at least like once a month we can do it. Sorry, my laptop crashed. I didn't realize that I didn't put the power. here further Prabhupada is also to mentioning there was no artificial equality in men. So between man and woman there is no artificial equality. So what this statement means? It actually Maharaj was explained, it means two things. One means they can never be equal. Other means actually they can be equal in the right perspective. Artificial equality between men and men, right? When that sentence of Prabhupada, actually it means two things. One means, first that means there can be no equality between men and women. Because in the material platform they can be never be equal because they have two different types of bodies. But they can be equal in the spiritual platform. So it means that one statement means two things. One is like they can never be equal. Artificial equality, right? Artificial equality means they can never be equal in the material way. But they can be equal in the spiritual way. Because in front of Krishna, everybody is spiritual. So, and female respectability is preserved more elegantly by keeping the woman separate from the men. And this actually, it's very important for us to understand these things and then teach our children and also people who come to the temple. Because I had seen several times, lot of people, new people come, right? They like to stay, husband and wife used to like to sit together in the temple. Which is like, that's not the culture in temple in India. But this is all coming because of our Western influence. Generally, people come and sit together where? In park, right? If you go to India, all the various parks, right? Like men and women come and sit together. But in temple, actually, always I had seen the temple is like lines are separate. So there will be a big kind of a gate kind of thing where the priest walks outside of the after like doing arati, right? When he comes to offer something, so he will come through that gate in the middle. Then women will be on one side and men will be in the other side.
Not only in temples, even theatres.
In movie theatres also, that's how it is. Like it's kept separately, right? That's the culture, but it's going away. By the way, nowadays it's going away. The sexes should not mix unrestrictedly. So these are the two things I was two lessons for us. One is like conducting the festivals. Another is Vaishnava etiquette. These are two lessons for us from this purport. Let's go to the next verse. Nityam nirikshamanam yat api dvaraka kushkam na vitriya pyantihi drisha shreyo danmanam achyutam. Translation: the inhabitants of Dwaraka were regularly accustomed to look upon the reservoir of all beauty, the infallible Lord, yet they were never satiated. Translation and purport, important points from the purport. The ladies of Dwaraka were very eager to look at the beautiful form of the Lord as if they were seeing for the first time. Even though actually the Lord had been living in Dwaraka, he just went on a mission to Hastinapur for few months or few weeks or years. The Lord, they had seen the Lord almost every day, thousands of times. But their eagerness to see the Lord was when Lord was coming back, it's like as if this is the first time they are seeing. That is the eagerness they had. And then Prabhupada also mentions the laws of satiation. In this material world, there is something called law of satiation. The law of satiation comes from generally mind. In the material world, when we keep seeing the same thing again and again, we get satiated. And then beyond satiation, people get frustrated also. They want change. They want changes in the material world. That laws of satiation works in the material realm, not in the spiritual realm. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Because Krishna is ever fresh. He is like, he is infinite. Works in material realm, but not in spiritual realm. Significance of the word Achyuta. And Krishna, and also like Prabhupada is mentioning this word Achyuta, infallible, is like very important word. Because the Lord, even though he comes down to the material world, he did not get degraded himself. But whereas the living entity who comes into the material world, they get degraded because of their misconception, identifying with the body. Because they don't have the spiritual identity, they misidentify themselves with the material identification. Hence, they are fallible. Whereas the Lord, when he descends, he is not. And his body and everything, all activities, everything is transcendental, spiritual. The Lord is Achyuta, and as he is infallible, whereas the living entities are fallible. The Lord is not under the modes of nature, whereas the living entities are. Why devotees are not satiated looking at the Lord's form? Because Krishna is ever new. Navayavana. Right? Prabhupada is mentioning that. The Lord is reservoir of all beauties beyond our experience. No one therefore is satiated by seeing the transcendental body of the Lord. Because they are always manifestations of newer and newer beauties. Krishna is Navayavana. That's why we can see like... Even sometimes in our temple, we can see like Radha Nila Madhava, right? So the same outfit after 1 week when you put, right? Actually, when you see them, you'll see it's a different bhava they exhibit. Like, I can see like several times like dear devotee, right? Like Bhajagovind Prabhu, he will stand there after dressing the ladies, he'll come. And then the same dresses sometimes he puts and then he will say, today Radharani is in this mood. She wants to go to shopping. She wants to do this. See, it's the different bhava they exhibit. Right, when somebody is advanced, I am not able to see that, but by just listening to him, I can understand that something like that exists. But by getting ourselves purified, right, by getting purified, by getting rid of anarthas, right, we can see this Navayavana form. Until then, we have to actually engage in service. Service to the devotees and service to the deities. No one therefore is associated by seeing the transcendental body of the Lord, because they are always manifestation of newer and newer beauties. The transcendental name, form, qualities, entourage, etc. are all spiritual manifestations. And the name of the Lord also is infinite. The Lord has infinite number of names. There is no limit. The amount of chanting we can do. The amount of names Lord has is infinite number of names he has. And then similarly for his qualities, also infinite number of qualities. And his entourage. So this is a very important point for us. So we should know that his entourage is also unlimited. So that means, so the spiritual world never gets like a no vacancy board. There will be always there is space. So we also can become part of the entourage of the Lord. So that means like Lord's entourage is unlimited. So we may not be able to take the prominent position because they are all taken. But we can become servant of the servants. So we can all be part of the entourage of the Lord. It's unlimited. There is no cessation in chanting the holy name of the Lord. And then also the qualities of the Lord, the forms of the Lord, these are all unlimited. There is no session discussing the qualities of the Lord. And there is no limitation of the entourage of the Lord. He is the source of all and is limitless. So next verse we will go. So I am just going to rush through these verses. So there are a lot more points in this particular verse. Actually again there are a lot of points. So we will try to go through quickly. Shivanivasa yashyora Pana patram mukam drisham bhagavo loka phalanam saranganam padambujam. The Lord's chest is the abode of goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting place for the administrative demigods. And his lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. So, important points from the purport. Prabhupada is mentioning, there are four types of attraction people get in this world. So, people who are generally attracted to wealth. So, for that, actually, here, Prabhupada is quoting, who is the possessor of the wealth? The goddess of fortune. So, Lakshmi. So, Lakshmi Devi is like the possessor of all wealth. She controls all the wealth in the material world. And then the thousands of Lakshmis are saving the Lord. Actually, the Lord is, and the Lord has the Lakshmi in his chest itself. So people who get attracted towards the material things, or especially material wealth, so they can get attracted, if they direct their attraction towards the Lord, actually they get unlimited wealth. So that's what Prabhupada is mentioning. The first type of attraction is for wealth. That's coming from the Lord's chest. Abode of goddess of fortune. The Lord is being served by thousands of goddess of fortune in the spiritual world. The Lord is always served with all reverence by thousands and thousands of goddess of fortune at the Chintamani Dhamma. The transcendental abode of the Lord, where the trees are all desire trees and the building are made up of touchstone. This is Prabhupada's quoting from Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakara Shadmashu verse. The Lord Govinda is engaged there in herding the Surabhi cows as his natural occupation. These goddess of fortune can be seen automatically if we are attracted by the bodily features of the Lord. By getting attracted towards the Lord, we can automatically see all this wealth. The impersonalist cannot observe such goddess of fortune because of their dry speculative habit. And then the second type of attraction is for beauty. So in general, people are like, a lot of people are attracted to natural beauty, right? Like going to mountains, going to lakes and doing all this various natural beauty they want to see. Those people who have attraction towards natural beauty, they should direct their attraction towards the face of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning. So his face is moon-like face. And those who are artists overtaken by beautiful creation should better see to the beautiful face of the Lord for complete satisfaction. The face of the Lord is the embodiment of beauty. Beautiful nature is his smile. Right? When you see the material nature, something is beautiful in nature, one should understand that actually that is nothing but smile of the Lord. And then when you see all these birds cuckooing, birds talking, right? That is nothing but the songs of the birds are specimens of the whispering voice of the Lord. So Prabhupada is telling how one, when somebody has tendency to appreciate the nature, that tendency to appreciate the nature can be directed towards the transcendental form of the Lord. So the third type of attraction is like for strength. People are generally attracted for strength to protect themselves from various things, right? Protect ourselves from extreme weathers, protect themselves from like thieves and protect things, right? The protection of this whole universe is happening by the demigods. So that's why that the devas are all attracted towards the arms of the Lord, because the Lord always comes and protects them. Whenever they are in trouble against the asuras, the Lord comes and protects them. So that's the type. There are administrative demigods in charge of departmental service of cosmic management, and there are tiny administrative gods in the state service. There are different types of demigods are available. Some of them are prominent, some of them are smaller positions. There are thousands and thousands of servants in the universal government. They are all actually looking forward to the arms of the Lord. They are all attracted to the arms of the Lord because the Lord gives the protection. They are always afraid of other competitors, but if they take the shelter of the arms of the Lord can protect them always from the attacks of the enemies. A faithful servant of the Lord engaged in service of administration is the ideal executive head and can well protect the interest of the people in general. So that means actually like the leaders of the society, right, who are administrating the people in general, if they wanted to administrate properly, they should take protection from the arms of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning. Other so-called administrators are all symbols of anachronisms, leading to the acute distress of the people who are governed by them. So it's a very beautiful word actually, anachronism. I was trying to look up the meaning of this word anachronism. Anachronism means actually something out of time or out of place. Like for example, if you get, let's say somebody excavated some place and they got artifacts of like some time period, like 5th century time period, they found some artifacts. Among the 5th century artifacts, they found one which is like 5 million years old. So that particular article is called anachronism, which stands out. So what Prabhupada is telling is that if somebody is not taking the shelter of the Lord, somebody is taking protection from the arms of the Lord, actually they are all standing out as anachronism because they create acute disease. So many problems in the material world. So it's Prabhupada's like English is like amazing. So I was just wondering like where they got the word and how Prabhupada pronounced this and how they translated and put this word. Amazing Prabhupada's choice of words. The administrators can remain safely under the protection of the arms of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning. By taking shelter of the arms of the Lord, the administrator can be safe. So they don't have to worry about the competition. They don't have to worry about somebody coming. So their enemy is coming and attacking. So that's how in the Vedic times, we can see that the kings of the Lord, kings of the various kingdom, right? Actually, they were always like taking shelter of the Lord. Actually, what is one example was like, so one of the king, Rajput kings, right? Like one who was worshipping Lord Govindadeva. What's his name?
Mansingh.
Raja Mansingh. So Raja Mansingh, right? He was like attacked by the neighboring kingdom. At the time, he was worshipping he every day he used to do deity worship. So, and during that time, because they found out this information that when he does deity worship, he doesn't get disturbed. They found out that that is the time he doesn't, he won't come out. And exactly during that time, they came and attacked his palace, his kingdom. So, and then the person who went to say this to the king, he saw that the king was worshipping. And then king said, like, go out, I'll come. And then he comes out within a minute. The king comes out and then he goes and fights the war and then he wins the battle. And then he goes back into his palace. Afterwards, again the king comes out and comes up with his sword and everything. Oh, let's all go and fight. He asks, he says that, let's all go and fight. Let's go and now attack and defend ourselves. And then immediately they ask, this, no, we just already finished the war. They already, the opposite army is defeated. Then they understood that Lord Govindadeva himself came in the form of Lord Raja Mansingh. And then he defended his kingdom. Because the Lord was taking shelter. He was worshipping the deity form of the Lord. And then he was protected by the arms of the Lord. So that's what we can understand. This was there actually in the Vedic time. So nowadays it is not there. Nowadays no politicians, no leaders of the society want to do this. They all want to distance themselves from anything religious nowadays. The fourth type of attraction is, Prabhupada says, the shelter. Shelter of the Lord. That means like the lotus feet of the Lord. Shelter of the Lord comes from the lotus feet. This type of attraction is taken by the devotees. The essence of everything is the Supreme Lord. He is called the Saram. And those who sing and talk about him are called Sarangas. So also there is one great personality in Chaitanya Charitamrita comes. His name is Saranga Thakur. So there is a nice pastime about Saranga Thakur, how he had become an initiating spiritual master as well. So, because he was ordered by Lord Chaitanya, he never wanted to initiate anybody. And he was ordered by the Lord. And then he went, he said, whoever comes first, whoever I meet first, I'll go and initiate that person. And then he goes, and then he sees a dead corpse coming. Young boy's body was like floating in the water. And then he initiates, and by his power, that person comes back into life. So, Saranga Thakur. Saranga means the one who knows the, one who sings the glories of the Lord. One who knows the essence of everything. The essence of everything is the Lord. And then who sings the glories of the Lord are called Sarangas. The pure devotee are always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus has a kind of honey which is transcendentally released by the devotees. They are like the bees who are always after the honey. The devotees are always looking for the transcendental nectar from the lotus feet of the Lord. They are like bees. That's the prayer like Rupa Goswami gives. Further in purport, Prabhupada says, Srila Rupa Goswami, the great devotee Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, has sung a song about this lotus honey, comparing himself to the bee. So this is the prayer given by Rupa Goswami. O my Lord Krishna, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly therefore give my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are the resources of all transcendental honey. I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet. Even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together, still, O infallible one, my ambition is such, for you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion to this, for the service of your lotus feet. But because of your lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to do, to be done. Your lotus feet can deride even the nectar of heavenly kingdom, and therefore I am very much attracted by them. O Supreme Eternal, please, therefore, let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, so that eternally I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service. The devotees are satisfied with being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord. This is what Prabhupada's purport further. And have no ambition to see his all beautiful face or aspire for the protection of the strong arms of the Lord. They are humble by nature, and the Lord is always leaning towards such humble devotees. The Lord gets attracted towards these pure devotees because they are always hankering to become a dust particle in the lotus feet of the Lord. Because that is the abode of all transcendental nectar. Lord's lotus feet.
This is Radha Nirmala
right?
Yes.
See, Mataji knows lotus feet of the Lord, so she has that. No, she is able to recognize, yeah.
I'm no from the jewelry because this all looks very familiar.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll go to next verse. Ruji is the same. Can you sing?
Sita pratar vyajanair upakrisha prashuna varshair abhishrashapati pishangavasha vanamalya baham gano yakraksham shapa vatyude.
As the Lord passed along the public road of Dwaraka, his head was protected from the sunshine by a white umbrella. White feathered fans moving in semicircles and showers of flowers fell upon the road. His yellow garments and garlands of flowers made it appear as if a dark cloud were surrounded by simultaneously by the sun, moon, lightning and rainbows. So this is amazing description. So Prabhupada explains in the purport. So this is that description of the Lord, right? So you can see the Lord is like a, it's like a Lord's head is like protected by this white umbrella from the sun, and then these two chamaras going in, like wavering in semicircles, and then Lord has this garland and this yellow garments. This appeared like the sun, the moon, the stars, the lightning, the rainbow, all of them at the same time. So Prabhupada was describing in the purport, the sun, moon, rainbow and lightning do not appear in the sky simultaneously. Whenever sun is there is no moon. Whenever there is rainbow, there is no lightning. Whenever there is sun, the moonlight becomes insignificant, and if there are clouds and a rainbow, there is no manifestation of lightning. The Lord's bodily hue is just like a new monsoon cloud. He is compared herein to the cloud. The white umbrella over his head is compared to the sun. The movement of the bunch hair fan of flukes is compared to the moon. The showers of flowers are compared to the stars. His yellow garments are compared to the rainbow. So all these activities of firmament, being impossible simultaneous factors, cannot be adjusted by comparison. This description of the Lord cannot be described at all. This vision, this form of the Lord when he was walking in, this description actually cannot be described by any words. The only thing we can try is trying to explain something from the nature. Also in nature, these things actually does not occur simultaneously. So that's what like Bhagavatam is describing, how this is something extraordinary. This is not something normal. Sometimes people get like enamored by just looking at the beauty of the moon and beauty of the sun and beauty of the nature, right? But this is something extraordinary, because this type of thing does not even happen in nature. The closest thing we can do is like by giving analogies in the nature we can do, but that is also, it's not anywhere close to the transcendental form of the Lord. So all these activities, the adjustment is possible only when we think of inconceivable potency of the Lord. The Lord is all powerful and his presence, anything impossible can be made possible by inconceivable energy. This appearance of the Lord, because of his inconceivable potency, it looked like the sun and moon appeared simultaneously. The rainbow and stars and clouds appeared simultaneously and lightning appeared simultaneously. But the situation created at the time of his passing on the roads of Dwaraka was beautiful and could not be compared to anything besides the description of natural phenomena. So we'll go to the next verse. So this, the first three verses describes about the attraction of the attraction of the devotees to the Lord, and then the second two verses, 26 and 27, describes why the devotees get attracted to the Lord. Because Krishna is reservoir of all beauty and he is unending, he is limitless. That's why devotees are not satiated, they are always looking after his lotus feet. That is why they get attracted towards the Lord. And now here the 28 and 29 describes the Lord's reciprocation.
Praveshtastu graham pitro parivshvataha svam matribhi bhavande sharasha sabda devaki pramukam muda.
After entering the house of his father, he was embraced by the mothers present, and the Lord offered his obeisances unto them by placing his head at their feet. The mothers were headed by Devaki, his real mother. So Prabhupada was explaining here, Lord's father, right, Vasudeva, had actually 18 wives, 18 queens. So out of them, seven were the sisters of Mother Devaki. And then Devaki was the prominent queen. She was the primary queen. And then Prabhupada was explaining that Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna, lived in a separate residential quarters with 18 wives. Out of this 18, actually 7 of them were sisters of Devaki. The Lord did not distinguish the real mother from his stepmothers. And he equally offered his obeisances to unto all of them. So Prabhupada is explaining, the Lord actually, even though his real mother was there, he did not discriminate. He was actually offering obeisances to all of them. According to scriptures, also there are 7 mothers. The real mother, the wife of the spiritual master, the wife of the Brahmana priest, the wife of the king, the cow, the nurse, and the earth. These are, everybody has the 7 mothers. Everybody has to consider these 7 things as like their own mother. One's own biological mother, one's wife of the spiritual master, one's wife of the wife of a Brahmana priest, the wife of the king, the queen, the cow, the mother cow, and then the nurse who had helped the mother to give birth, right? The nurse and the earth. So these are considered to be 7 mothers. And here, right? So the king, right? The father of the Lord, right? Vasudeva, King Vasudeva is actually, he's like his father. Father is also considered to be one of the spiritual master for everybody. So hence, he's respecting his stepmothers is actually in line with scriptures, because the other mothers also are all actually like the mothers for him. That's what Prabhupada is explaining. All of them are mothers. Even by this injunction of the Shastras, the stepmother, who is the wife of the father, is also as good as the mother, because the father is also one of the spiritual master. That's the etiquette like Krishna followed this here. Lord Krishna, the Lord of the universe, plays the part of an ideal son just to teach others how to treat their stepmothers. We'll go to the next verse.
Tha putram ankam aropya snegasnuta payodara harsha vikvalit atmana sishichur netrair jalai.
The mothers, after embracing their son, sat him on their laps. Due to pure affection, milk sprang from their breasts. They were overwhelmed with delight, and the tears from their eyes wetted the Lord. Purport. The Lord Krishna was at Vrindavana, even the cows would become moistened by affection towards him, and he would draw milk from the nipples of every affectionate living being. So what to speak of the stepmothers who were already as good as his own mother? So this is how the Lord was reciprocating to his mothers. Here the reciprocation is for Vatsalya devotees. And then the next group of verses, 20, 30 and above, actually he tells how he reciprocated to the queen, the Madhurya Bhava. So we will stop here. The important points, actually, again, more points are there from the purport. Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, lived in a separate, I think this is the same. Yeah, it's repeating. So that's where, the end of the verses. Any discussions, any questions? Sorry, I focused on only one verse. I assumed that we will listen. I will send the link to other lectures by other spiritual masters. But I focused on that one verse because that verse I liked, especially from Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Sorry, I went over the time. So any discussions, any questions?
One question, like, we always see the separation of the men and women, especially in the temples. But near sitting in the yajnas, sacrificial fire, we always sit
there.
Is there any explanation for that in Shastras, why we have to sit
them
together?
So especially sacrifices are performed by the Grihasthas. So Grihasthas, actually they are allowed to sit in the sacrifice together, because so that's like, we can see there is a pastime mentioned. Lord Brahma was actually trying to conduct a sacrifice, and then his wife did not come on time. And then he asked, and the priest said that one has to sit with his wife. When somebody is married, when sitting in the yajna, he has to sit with his wife. And then Brahma is waiting for somebody, and Saraswati did not come, because always men take more time to decorate themselves, right? and she couldn't come on time. And then he has to sit with somebody else. That was actually Gayatri. He has to sit, and then after seeing this, Saraswati like got angry. And then she cursed Lord Brahma that nobody will worship you, you will not have any temple. And things like that. The pastime is, I don't know the actual reason, but that is like Vedic, it is coming from Vedic scriptures. That's what all the priests say. One has to sit in the yajna if with his wife.
See, in the Ramayana also, like,
yeah,
makes the golden form of Sita.
Prabhuji, you have some points?
Yeah. Actually, according to whatever I can, from my experience, at least in the South India, when you do that sacrifice, the wife is not sitting down. Actually, the wife is in the back, and she actually touches the dharba, the kusa grass. The kusa grass will be touching. The only the link is from husband to wife is the dharba grass. And she is not allowed to sit in the sacrifice. She will be standing
behind.
Yeah.
Mm.
And as Prabhuji mentioned, you know, the sacrifice is mentioned for grahasthas. And, you know, husband and wife together
has to perform. Yeah. So, yajnas are in general, it's, I think not in general, it's always except probably like few of them. I think when they take sannyas, I think they probably do sacrifice as well. It's meant for sannyasis, I think. So most of the sacrifices are prescribed for grahasthas. So the wife has to be there. I'm not expert in samskaras, so I don't know the details. So maybe you can ask Harilas Prabhu. So, but as Prabhu said, like he is right. Like in South India, all like the women sit the behind. There is a kusha grass connection between. And the wife and husband. But in general, so woman has to be there. So the wife has to be there in the sacrifice. Yes, anything else? Any discussions?
Very nice.
Hare Krishna. No. So I just repeated what's there in the lecture. Please forgive me if I anything overspoke, because I don't do a lot of service in the temple. I don't talk to a lot of people. So I don't have any qualification to speak. I just repeated because I felt it's very inspiring for myself.
It is very inspiring actually. What you said is like we are not able to market.
Yeah. Because Harilas Prabhu had done wonderful thing actually. Thousands of people are coming here. He is the factory owner who had invested thousands of dollars here like to create this facility for us.
And many times when the like that's what the children's parents say. Like, you know, when we tell them, they don't listen. But when someone else comes and tells, they listen. So same way, Harivas Prabhu, our father is telling every day we are not listening. But now when we are hearing Tamal Krishna Maharaj is also saying the same thing to us. We
better
do.
And when I was hearing, I felt like it's Harivas Prabhu telling only. It's like the mood, the mood, the tone. It was just identical actually.
And as you were mentioning, we cannot stand in front of Radha Nilama and then throughout the day and experience the plus. But whereas if you talk to somebody about Radha Nilamala, and then you can start feeling, experiencing that joy in the heart.
Yes.
So the good thing is like we all can take some time and then be the welcome, try to experience that. I mean,
so we all should understand this. Any Indian who is coming to this temple, they are not ordinary, because not even forget about spiritually, even materially, these are all like cream of the crop. These are all cream of the crop who is coming to America, right? They are all like top 95th percentile of India. They are intelligent people. They are all intelligent.
Yeah.
All we have to do is like just build relationship and they will take up.
So Prabhu, on that comment, I used to do welcome service several years ago, for several years, for 3 or 4 years I did welcome service.
Mm-hmm.
Over the period of time, I have observed gradual degradation in the quality of people coming in. So there is too much of general janta talk. So I excuse myself from the welcome service. Because too much janta talk going on. They will all sit here and they'll talk about general
prajavak.
In the initial days when we first came, 2003, 2004, welcome service was it had some merit to it. But now it is all janta talk.
Janta talk, is it the people who are coming or
people who are coming? And some of us also get it dragged into that janta talk too. Because of
you do janta talk.
You don't have to do janta talk. We have to maintain our standard. Let them come to our standard.
But the importance is we don't have to. Yeah, we have to talk sometimes. But all we have to do is just like stand here and receive people nicely. Talk few words. Generally, people ask, lot of people ask like, oh, is there any activity? Is there any classes? Just you answer it. Please direct them towards the board, right? Notice board. Those simple things actually goes a long way.
So most thing, right? Most of the people, most of the Indians when they come, I know for sure they don't know who is there on the leftmost, Governor Thai.
Yeah.
They know Rala
explain to, even now, whenever somebody comes, I explain first to who. These are the founders of the holy name. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is in Bengal. They know who Krishna is somewhat. But they don't know absolutely anything about
Him. Yeah. It's very important. As you said, it's important to maintain our standards. So we should not be engaging in prajalpa.
Yeah.
But sometimes people who come in, right, they will engage in talk. So we can't like cut them off. Right?
They are just coming in.
We have to be intelligent.
So you have to actually bring them.
We have to be intelligent. So people who are coming here are like very intelligent people. So we have to just present it in a nice, interesting way. So I had seen most people who come here.
I did that Vedic personality test that I did for 1.5 years. I used to talk to all people. Most of them said they never understood anything. So we are trying various things. Now we are trying Vedic University, the Discover Yourself. So we are also going through this learning process.
Yeah.
Some things work, some things don't.
Everybody is not interested in DYS. Everybody is not interested in...
Everybody is not interested in Vedic personality. Now everybody is interested in everything. So we need to intelligently present
somebody
it.
Somebody may be interested only in doing service. I have seen some people, they just want to come, they want to do service. But they don't want to come and sit in the class.
Yeah.
Let them do service.
Yeah.
So, but we have to be ready for to you know inspire them in wherever they are interested.
No, one day I came to the temple. I saw the only initiated devotee, other than the person on the altar, was Vendaran Prabhu. There's nobody else in the whole temple. He was leading the kirtan. That's it. Everybody else was an outsider. Kaha chale gaye 60 initiated devotees? Actually, we don't have 60 initiated devotees. Yeah. We probably only have 10 people who come regularly and are interested.
No, we have, but we have to understand that everybody is doing something. Everybody is doing something. Okay? Yeah. Everybody is doing something. This is not, you should not misunderstand this. Everybody is doing something. But the point, like Maharaj mentioned, is that we have to do more. So, Maharaj was mentioning the Sunday feast lecture is the most important activity. We put the whole weeks of effort for Sunday feast. That make sure that the 2 hours you are there in the temple. Those 2 hours you are there in the temple. So, throughout the week, right, we have so many things to do. Okay. Don't tell that we don't have the 2 hours.
If at all we have to do something, you know, I think we already talked, we need to have an extra question with all devotees. Certain things can be improved.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is always room for improvement.
The last extra question we had.
I was not.
No, the last we had was when Madhav Gopinath Prabhu was there 5 years ago.
No, we had after that. We had one extra question that was not constructive one.
I was not there, but.
Yeah. There was one extra question.
I have seen Haridas Prabhu repeatedly saying, that Sunday evening, the 3 hours,
all the devotees initiated devotees should be here. Yeah. Because that is there is a line in the crowd. Other times is not very particular. Harivilas Prabhu is giving class.
He knows we have other things.
Yeah, I'll request Harivilas Prabhu to speak on the same lecture. Maybe we can ask Prabhu to play that lecture.
Not a lecture. See, again, you are
coming
back to.
No. But Harivilas
Prabhu has already given his lecture the other day.
No, I know.
What is the future of
ISKCON? Okay. I understand, Prabhuji.